news isn't always true news. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
That's Steve Brown. He's no guru, but he loves Jesus Christ. He loves the Bible, and he loves to teach it. The program is Key Life, and here's Steve with a teaching for today. Steve?
Thanks, Mike. Hope you had a great weekend, and I hope you had a restful, fun weekend. I hope your time at church was a glorious time, and your pastor's sermon meant as much to you as my pastor's sermon meant to me. If you have your Bible, open to the 28th chapter of Jeremiah. I think I'm going to finish with Jeremiah this week. I know. I told you 2 weeks ago I was going to finish, and then I saw some things that I really need. I really felt constrained to teach, and so I'm just picking some texts, some chapters that are among my favorite chapters, and we're going to look at the 28th chapter, and then I've got one other thing outside the 28th chapter I want to show you, and then we'll move on to Lamentations. And this is a part of our Old Testament survey. A lot of Christians are not very familiar with the Old Testament because they think the Old Testament is a place of God's wrath. Let me tell you something, the greatest wrath in all of history is manifested in the New Testament, where God poured out all of his wrath on a totally innocent man. Some of the most wonderful teaching on love is found in the Older Testament. At any rate, we're going through the Old Testament, spending anywhere from 2 to 3 to 5 weeks on each of the books of the Old Testament. We're looking at Jeremiah, and this week, mostly, the 28th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Before we do that, it's our practice on Mondays, before we study the book, to go before the Word, go before the throne. I'm doing the best I can. Let's pray. Father, we're glad we belong to you. We remember where you found us and how lonely and empty it was, no meaning in our lives, no reason to keep on keeping on, and then you came. Somebody cared enough to tell enough, and Father, we're thankful to you for them, for reminding us that there was a higher calling, that there was something better, that you had come and walked our roads and died on a cross in our place. And we remember that time, and we're thankful for it. Father, sometimes we think about heaven, too, and getting home and what that will be like. And that gives us joy. But, Father, right now we're in the between times, and it hurts sometimes. Father, we wonder. Sometimes we have doubts. Sometimes we're afraid. And so we come to you in the between times, asking that you would meet us at the point of our need. We thank you that you know our frame and that you remember that we're dust, that you won't blow out a flickering candle and you won't break a bruised reed. You're God and you're compassionate and you're good and you're kind and you're merciful and you're generous and you're gentle and you're forgiving and you're gracious. So we praise you. We thank you and ask that you would meet us at the point of our needs. And then, Father, as we study your word this week on Key Life, we pray for the one who teaches. Father, forgive him his sins. They're many. We would see Jesus and him only, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this week, the 28th chapter of Jeremiah. The reason I picked this chapter is because it says some important things that we need to hear about false prophets. A lot of people running around saying that what they're saying is from God, and it's really not. And I thought it couldn't hurt for us to talk about it using the 28th chapter of Jeremiah as our book of instruction about a false prophet. Now, let me kind of get our bearings for this chapter. I want to pause for just a moment, discern the historical perspective. The year is 597 B.C. Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian armies had become the most powerful in all the world. Because of their great power, they were able in that year to subdue all of the country of Judea and to conquer the city of Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar was cruel. He, after capturing Jerusalem, carted off to Babylon the rightful king, Jehoiachin, and all the educated leaders of the city. Then Nebuchadnezzar set up a vassal king in the person of Zedekiah, one of the sons of Josiah, the king. And in return for the granting of kingship to Zedekiah, oh yeah, they did politics then too. Nebuchadnezzar required that that Zedekiah pay a set amount to Babylonia each year, and also that Zedekiah pledge allegiance to Nebuchadnezzar. Now, King Zedekiah, though in many ways was really stupid and weak, was nevertheless a not half bad man. You ever known people like that? You know, really people that are twits, but occasionally you see some good in them. Well, Zedekiah was that way. He was a fairly good man. He really did want to do right by his people. But when the real leaders of the city were exiled, all of the illusions of grandeur were shattered. They began to think that, or Zedekiah and his leaders, who weren't real leaders, they were the ones that were left, they began to think, you know, we're really something else. We, the man, we've got this thing together. God has appointed us to have power and authority. And they started thinking of themselves quite different than they ought to have thought of themselves. Now, during this whole time, you'll find Jeremiah speaking the word of God. Jeremiah said that Nebuchadnezzar was God's ordained punishment against Jerusalem. He said that God had spoken, and that was all there was to it. Jerusalem would be destroyed, and all her people would be led off to become slaves. Now, those aren't the kinds of words to win friends and influence people, and we talked about that last week. And in the 28th chapter of Jeremiah, we meet a character by the name of Hananiah. And I'm going to take the time to read this chapter, and then we'll go back and look at it the rest of the week. And it happened in the same year, at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, the king of Judah, in the fourth year, and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, who was from Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord in the presence of the priests and all the people, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within two full years I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar the king of Babylon took away from the place and carried into Babylon. And I will bring back to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah who went to Babylon, says the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and in the presence of all the people who stood in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. The Lord do so. And the Lord perform your words which you have prophesied to bring back the vessels of the Lord's house and all who were carried away captive from Babylon to this place. Nevertheless, hear now the word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who have been before me and before you of old prophesied against many countries and great kingdoms of war, disaster and pestilence. As for the prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet comes to pass, the prophet will be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and broke it. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, thus says the Lord, even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations within the space of two full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. After Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus says the Lord, you have broken the yokes of wood, but you shall have in their place yokes of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, that they shall serve him. I have given him the beasts of the field also. Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but you make this people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will cast you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die because you have taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died, the same year in the seventh month.
Ooh.
Now what I want to do, and I don't have much time left today to do it in, or for you English teachers in which to do it, because I took the time to read that chapter, but it's just an incredible chapter, and it speaks so often to our time and the prophets who claim to speak for God. Those of you in California will laugh at this, too. You heard about the milkman that brought the milk, and a man came out to pick up in his bathrobe to pick up the milk from the doorstep, and 18 people bowed down and worshiped him. We have those kind of people walking around. They claim to be prophets. They claim to be of God, and they solicit thousands upon thousands of people. But everybody who speaks in the name of God does not speak in the name of God. And words that sound religious and spiritual and pietistic sometimes are not. Sometimes they're outright lies. So you got to be careful. We're going to talk about that all this week. But remember, before I go, not everybody who says they speak for God speaks for God. You think about that. Amen. Hey, today is Memorial Day, and I do. I want to pause and just say thank you to those of you who are serving in the armed services, and to remember with thankfulness before God those people who gave everything for the cause of freedom. It's very valuable, and many are doing that today, and we're thankful for them, eternally thankful. Hey, listen, if you don't have our booklet From Panic to Power, I'd love to send it to you. If you're going through a hard time, you'll find it helpful. You might want to give it to a friend. It's called From Panic to Power. Let me know. Give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE. You can call 24 hours a day. Or write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or in Canada, Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us, steve@keylife.org, with a regular mailing address, and ask for From Panic to Power. We'll send it to you free. And I mean free, really. But that doesn't mean we'd turn down a contribution, because this is a very extensive ministry, and some of you have been called by God to stand with us financially. Pray about it, and if you can, be as generous as you can charge your own MasterCard Visa included in your envelope. For any contribution of any size, I'll send you the cassette Forgiven and Forgotten. Gotta go. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.